Greetings, and welcome to The Thirsty Mage, the podcast that misses the days when the inventory got its own screen. I'm your host, David Lloyd, and this week we're taking a look back at the Nintendo DS. We've had an episode highlighting Sony's best handheld, now it's time to reminisce about arguably the best dedicated Nintendo handheld device. This week in the pub, we've got a couple of big Nintendo DS fans, starting with NWR Reviews editor, Jordan Rudick.
When you think about the library of the Nintendo DS Lite, specifically, with that GBA cartridge, man, you're talking about, yeah, it's right up there for collection of RPGs and just all-around good games that you can play. It really is staggering. Like, doing a little bit of research for the episode today, just pulling out lists of games that I'd heard of or loved or would love to get to at some point, and it's a massive list, and we're gonna try to blitz them later on in the episode. But yeah, it's gonna be some fun to reminisce about a console I think I spent a lot of time with when I wasn't all that into the home consoles that Nintendo had at the time, like GameCube and Nintendo Wii. I didn't spend a lot of time with that, but man, I spent a lot of time playing DS.
Yeah, hopefully, I don't know if we'll be able to get it all in one episode. We might have to split it up into two, but yeah, there's definitely a lot to get through. And helping us get through it is the better half of the Talk Nintendo podcast, Mr. Casey Gibson.
Oh man, there's never been a console as hyped up for me as the Nintendo DS. Because it was that last, like the last console release before I had income, you know what I mean? So it was still like, please, for Christmas, let me get this system, please. But yeah. Shortly afterwards, I turned 14 and was able to get a caddy job. So then I had tons of money to spend on the game. So it was like, oh, I love the DS, dude.
The perfect storm.
It really was.
Someone bought you the console and you had unlimited funds for the games.
Yeah, dude. Oh, I'd come home, you'd make like $50 a day, you know, and it'd be like, just enough to head over to GameStop and pick up Feel the Magic, baby. Which I did. I did buy that game.
I'm looking forward to the full review on this podcast. We might dedicate the whole episode to Casey's review of Feel the Magic. I remember just making jokes about it without really knowing exactly what it was. But one thing, we're going to talk about this in a second, but one thing that really stuck with me about the DS was just all the iterations and always getting excited for, like, there was always a new hotness with this system. Like, every couple of years, they would do a re-release of the console, right? They remodded, like, you from the DS Fat to the Lite to the DSi to the DSi XL. Like, I felt like I was constantly trading in one console and getting a new one back. And that feeling was really fun, you know, just opening up a new console every year or two, but also being able to play all of the games you've already got. Like, it was just a really awesome feeling. But yeah, there's a lot about this system to like. We'll get into it shortly.
Yeah, and maybe you'd like to start off this week's drink discussion, Jordan.
Sure. So I do have some very good news to share. Not as good as switching from Coke to Pepsi, which I am still very much doing.
The best news.
The best decision I've ever made. I found this coffee creamer. It's soy milk. It's the brand is Silk. So it's a Silk soy coffee creamer. And I guess it's, I don't know if it's thicker or what it is, but it does, again, I like it because it doesn't really have that soy taste. So what I've been doing is I've been going back to just buying like drip decaf coffee from like Tim Hortons or Starbucks or McDonald's or wherever. And so rather than having to get like $5 or $6 lattes from Starbucks, which are, you know, kind of killing my killing my PayPal account. Yeah, it's expensive, right? And so obviously those are very sweet and I like those a lot, but it's a lot of money to be shelling out when all you want is a quick coffee, right? So now that I've found this coffee creamer that I like, and I like my coffee pretty light. So one of the reasons why I was away from drip coffee for a while, it was irritating my stomach, but I think I solved the problem. The lactose-free cream I'd been buying wasn't working. So there's really no lactose-free product that fully agrees with my digestive system. So now I've switched to this soy creamer and it's great. Like I can lighten my coffee. I don't taste it that much. I can kind of just enjoy the coffee with a little bit of sugar and it's great. So I'm very pleased to announce that I am back on drip coffee, sticking with my decaf brand and my dairy-free brand. And yeah, I had one this morning with a muffin, a blueberry muffin that my wife made. And I was a very happy pappy after I got my coffee this morning.
I was going to say, if it doesn't have caffeine And it doesn't really have any dairy. Is it really a coffee?
I don't know what it is, but I really enjoyed it. You know, it's funny. Like, there was a time when I'd be going to Tim Hortons like once or twice a day, you know, in university or you know, after. I was still in my late 20s, I guess, but heading to work or whatever. But yeah, I hadn't been having Tim Hortons for a long time. And there's a nice kind of sense of comfort of driving through the Tim Hortons drive through and, you know, picking up your coffee and your pick up a tea for my wife. And Tim Hortons is going to be happy to have me back because I'm going to be there pretty often. Here's my problem now. These creamers, they only come in like the 500 mil size. I guess that's like it's like a cup or two, Casey. And it's super small. So I think this creamer is going to last me like 3 days tops. So every time I go to the grocery store, I'm going to have to buy like three of these creamers. So here's my plea to the Silk soy milk representatives out there. Can you please make a bigger thing of your soy creamer? I'd really appreciate that. So
I would keep an eye out. Get on that. Because I use International Delight French vanilla for my coffee.
Yeah, yeah. I've had that. And, it's great.
Some of the supermarkets only have like, I don't know how big it is, but not big enough. And then, like, Walmart's got, like, the heavy-duty big, like, because I've seen, like, a medium size, a large, and then there's, like, the Walmart size.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah.
We go through a ton of it. So, yeah, it's, like, that big boy size is where it's at. And
I should check Walmart because I haven't. I've just been getting this from grocery stores, but I'd like to check out Walmart because you're right.
Walmart's
sometimes they have the bigger sizes. Yeah, yeah.
There's going to be a picture of Jordan one day on Twitter, and it'll be him crating out of Costco. Like two of those pallets or pallets of the pallets. He'll just have like three of them stacked up, and there'll be just people like helping him get it to his car.
See, the joke's on me because the expiration date on these on the non-dairy milk products is like two or three times what it would be on a normal milk. Yeah, it's super long, right? Like it might the norm you buy a gallon of milk or a 4 liter of milk might be like a couple weeks max, you know, but like on these soy and the almond beverages too, it's like at least a month or two, right? So I'm like, okay, yeah, like I'm all about
still
stocking up at Costco.
Less than a week though.
Yeah, I know. So give me that big size or else I'm gonna have to hit Walmart up at Costco, see what they have.
Yeah, I guess I'll just piggyback what I've been drinking real quick so we can get to what David's actually drinking because it'll be an alcoholic beverage, but yeah, I've just got a nice cup of coffee. Recording nice and early today, thank you Jordan. Damn West Coasters. But yeah, nice coffee and it won't keep me up all night.
Yeah, and and you were proud to tell us that you were able to make that coffee without shattering your pot this time.
Yeah, I did make fun of Jordan, so my coffee pot is intact. Although, to be honest, my old pot was so much better, man. This one just, it ain't the same.
Yeah, change isn't always good, Case, but I am proud of you for not smashing this one. That's a good thing.
Yep. Not yet.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, so the beer of the week this week is it's the opposite of light. It's an imperial stout. So this is La Criminelle from La Voix Maltais. This is a nice thick beer. And it's got the alcohol to back it up too. It's a 9.5. Just a shade under the double digits, but it's got a nice caramel taste to it. I've been drinking a lot of summer beers, I'd call them, like the light beers, the whites and the lagers and that sort of thing. And so I thought, it's time to switch it up and drink a beer that goes down like a meal. So I'm enjoying this nice, thick imperial stout. So
in the interest of, talking about language, because I can't, you know, my whole day job is revolving around talking about English. If we translate La Voix Maltais, David, do you want to guess what that might mean?
Something to do with like malt life or something.
Yeah, that's pretty close. So at least Google Translate says the malted way. Malted life or malted way sounds great.
That should be their tagline.
David, you should buy a house on Malted Way, I think, or you're living the malted life right now. So, yeah, that's great. Next time, if you ever get a chance to speak to those guys at the brewery, let's see how they would translate that. Or maybe we'll get Guy on the podcast to do a French to English episode for us. But, yeah, that sounds like a good one.
I actually
La Criminelle is pretty good, too. Like, that's a good name.
Well, I was looking that one up because the way it's spelled L with E-L-L-E and La. So that I was looking at that thinking, okay, so that's like the feminine criminal. That's like right. a woman criminal. But I had to consult my children who are the actual bilingual people in the family. I said, this means girl, right? And he's like, yeah. I didn't get much of an explanation other than, yep.
Yeah, you so. Picklehead.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, I can't imagine that criminal is, I don't know, French is funny to me sometimes, but is there a masculine like L-E, le criminal, without the double L and the E at the end? Like, is there...
I believe so.
I don't know.
Yeah, like, I think it's, that's the, that is the, the masculine way.
Like, the word would change depending on whether the prisoner or the criminal is masculine, a man or a woman.
That's, yeah.
Interesting.
It always hangs me up. And a lot of the times, like, when you're speaking, it's hard to tell the difference because they sound exactly alike.
Mm-hmm. You really got to hold on that L part at the end. You got to exaggerate it a bit, right?
Ooh. Yeah, I think so.
Or exaggerate the law, I suppose. I don't know. Again, another question for Guy at another time.
Yeah, I think they never seem to have a problem catching it. Like people who are fluent in it, so there must be just by experience. You know,
you've got an ear for it, right? Yeah. Whatever your native language is, you've always got an ear for subtleties in it. We would do the same for English. David, you mentioned your kids are bilingual. They're not in French immersion. Like they're just naturally. Like you've raised them bilingual.
Well, they go to a French school. They're actually better. Okay. They're better in French than they are in English, actually.
Really?
Oh, really? That's yeah. funny. What about does your partner, your wife, speaks French as well or no?
She speaks it enough. Like she could probably carry a conversation if the other person talked very slowly. But we both grew up in a completely English community, so it's
I see.
It's something that she's been trying to learn and.
Right. Dave's like, maybe I got RPGs to play.
Yeah, I got a 100-hour RPG to get through. I got no time.
They should have
the extent
you...
of your French education is just the beers, just the French
that's
beers.
Right. That's right. Reading the French labels of the beers,
and me translating some of the titles for you.
One of these days, I might have to like start using the language options in these RPGs. Maybe that'll help one day. But
well, that's what I was gonna say. Yeah, you can only play Final Fantasy 14 online in French. You'd be speaking French in like 3 days, dude. Yeah,
probably.
I mean, I think that's how some people started learning Japanese, right? Was importing Japanese games, like Japanese RPGs especially, and just, you know, trying to translate them or figure out things from context and piece things together, right? Like, there's cool stories about Final Fantasy V and the Final Fantasy Legend games before they came to North America. People, yeah, importing them, finding a way to buy them, and just, kind of muddling their way through and trying to understand as much as they could. And I guess, in the early days of the internet, people were cobbling together kind of a shared resource of translating the characters and translating the stories of these games. So there's definitely something interesting there about, learning a language and playing RPGs at the same time. I think I've just set up the next theme episode, so look forward to that.
There you go. Well, before we get on to the next episode, we'll have to finish this one, which is the Nintendo DS review. Looking at the, like you said, we'll start off with the hardware because there are so many different iterations of the hardware. It's I guess a thing with the Nintendo handhelds, the DS and the 3DS, there's no shortage of different kinds to choose. I guess even the GBA was that way too. There was four versions of that too.
They loved making money on those things as much as they could.
It's almost weird that we haven't gotten too much, like, I guess we got the Switch Lite, but I mean,
yeah, I think
when you look at how many years we've gone, like when the original DS came out in 2004 and then the final one was 2010, so I guess that was 6 years. There was four versions in that time, so
Yeah, I was gonna say, I guess too, you know, they were sort of given to children generally. I mean, I know everyone played it, but it could just be, oh, it's getting beaten up, like, oh, but there's a brand new shiny one, to sort of just to keep that, you know, incentive like incentivize them to go out and spend that money, you know, like where maybe you would have replaced it with a new one if you had to, but since now there's like a new shiny one, you know, like, yeah, let's do it.
I mean, as much as the system might have been marketed to children, I think it was also marketed to casual players, right? Think of all the games that came to the DS, right? Like you got a ton of puzzle games. I think of like stuff like Professor Layton was a really good one. Mm-hmm. Brain Training. The Tetris on DS is maybe still one of the best versions of that game for sure. But the DS Lite and the DSi especially, I remember those being targeted towards, not hardcore gamers, not people that play a lot of video games, but maybe people that want a console to play on their commute, you know, people that maybe had a Game Boy growing up have fond memories of playing the Game Boy, playing Tetris on that. Okay, you can take a DS Lite with you. It's just so compact and portable and easy to carry, right, with the clamshell design, which was genius, obviously, protecting the screens like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I just remember the DS Lite being something that, my girlfriend at the time wanted one, parents of friends wanted one, it was kind of a ubiquitous system, and it's no surprise that it sold a ton. It was really marketed well to a wide variety of groups, but then we're going to be talking about a bunch of RPGs on the system. It had the games for different players too. So just, I think that it's a system that could really appeal to so many different people.
Yeah. I think they actually did a good job where like with the Wii, right. It just sort of trended too far to the casual market. And like towards the end, right. Of course, Nintendo is still pumping out good games. But releasing good games. And then mm-hmm. like everyone else sort of fell into the shovelware. But yeah, I feel like the DS was able to sort of, straddle that line of, like you said, having those casual sort of really approachable games, but also, not alienating the quote-unquote hardcore, players looking to really sink your teeth into games. Like you said, especially as an RPG machine, it's mm-hmm. pretty incredible at the end of the day, So it definitely had a wide range of offerings.
Yeah, so for sure.
So that original DS, the fat, I guess, design that
DS
it's
fat.
Been called mm-hmm. DS fat. Did you guys both have a DS fat then? Like, were you the early adopters?
I had one at launch. I remember saving up for it. Like Casey was kind of mentioning, it was probably one of the first consoles I bought by myself. GBA would have been the last one that I might have received. I remember buying GBA SP for my brother, but. Yeah, DS is the first one I got excited for that launch for sure. It was definitely going to be the new hotness. So this is November 2004, kind of close to the end of the year. That a really good timing for like a holiday launch, but it would turn out that the launch lineup was maybe a little bit lackluster. But I was super excited to get the console. I got Super Mario 64 with it. Super Mario 64 DS mm-hmm, with it. It came with a demo of Metroid Prime Hunters. I think it might have just been a multiplayer. It was very short. I don't remember spending a lot of time with the demo, but the demo was deep. It was packaged in with the console. It might have even have like its own card, I guess, right? Because there was no online functionality with the original DS. So
and it did come with a case. It came with like a little slip. Right.
I remember that very well. That's right. There wasn't the actual DS casing for it or any plastic casing. I remember specifically a memory of. Taking the console home with a couple of friends who I picked it up with, and we were just kind of standing on their block and testing out the wireless chat. Picto chat, it might have been called. So we were testing that out, kind of testing out the limits of how far the wireless connectivity between the consoles would stretch. And I don't remember it being very far, but it kind of blew our minds that we could send messages wirelessly like that, right? Like we weren't on a video game console, no less. That was definitely a different thing. I don't think cell phones were available, but not
like
to the point
today.
Where everybody had one. Yeah, it's not like an extension of your body. Like some people might have had one. Your parents might have had one for like emergencies.
People weren't texting. I don't think either.
No, I don't think so. You might have had like just for phone calls. You might have had Snake on it, but text messaging certainly wasn't a thing yet. So that was kind of a novelty of the original one.
Man, I still remember that first like. Commercial advertising texting, and I was like, that is so stupid, like why would I want to do that on a phone, I was, but I got a DS for that Christmas, so it released what, early November, so I had the dreaded almost 2 month wait for Christmas morning. And it's funny because I remember I went up hunting with my dad, and I was young. I was like 13, so it's like I couldn't actually go hunting or anything. I just sort of, it was more of a way to get out of school. And essentially, it's one of those like, oh, yeah, that's a great idea, until you get up there and you're like, oh, I got to get up at like 5 in the morning and go sit in the snow and it's cold out. But man, I remember just daydreaming about getting that freaking DS, dude. And yeah, finally did. Like you said, I got Super Mario also, 64 DS. And funny enough, that's actually the first like real way I played Super Mario 64. I had played on it, I own N64. I never owned Super Mario 64. I think it's because I ended up getting the 64 a little late, and then it was like, oh, I played that like at a friend's house. Like I don't need that game, dumb Casey. But essentially, yeah, so my first real playthrough was on the DS, and I remember getting all the stars and everything.
Yeah, for me, I barely even have seen a real or a DS FAT in real life. I came in at the DS Lite stage. The one I ended up going with was, it was a friend had told me about the carts that you could pick up, so I was more excited to play the... Yeah, I was in my mid-20s, and I was more excited to play the old Nintendo games and Super Nintendo games. And a friend had the light and had it all hacked out, and jealousy overcame me. So when I went out and picked one up, and my buddy told me where to get the cart. And yeah, that's how I ended up starting with the DS Lite. And the thing that... that surprises me the most, I think, is just how long the battery has held up and how it still holds like a decent charge. What are we, almost 14 years later now? It's incredible. Like and it still looks pretty solid. Like I wouldn't say I've, you know, overused it over the years, but the fact that it's a, you know, 14, 13 year old device, the battery still works great. And it doesn't look that old. Like it's a tough little machine.
Yeah,
the DS Lite from the original is such a huge improvement, right? Like it's smaller, it's sleek, the curved edges are awesome. David, a better battery, brighter screens. Yeah, it is day and night. It's almost a totally different console. Like the if you go back to the DS FAT and try to play that now, I don't think it's very comfortable. The it's very bottom heavy. The look of it is just very boxy and mechanical. And then the glow up that is the DS Lite. I don't know if we've ever seen that kind of transformation.
It's like the beta version versus the final release version.
Yeah, absolutely. Alpha version. Yeah. Like it is. It's just huge transition between those two consoles. And I think even the DSi and the DSi XL are improvements, but maybe to more to the side, like they add function.
Yeah, it wasn't.
They removed some function too, like taking out the GBA slot. Like, I get it. You get the camera, you get the online shop, but man, the DS Lite. I'd rather have the GBA slot. Like, I'd rather have the ability to play all those games. Like, we did an FF6 episode and an FF5 episode, you know, a couple months ago. I played both of those on a pink DS Lite. Like, I was super happy to just pick up, you know, there at Craigslist, you can get a DS Lite for cheap.
Oh, yeah.
And I would love to just have, like, one of every color. I had the white one
like Jerry
growing up. And it was, yeah, right? And it's just a great console. And, yeah, I did get the DSi, the DXi XL after. But I don't think of the whole lineup of DS consoles, nothing really, you know, it kind of held my attention, held my heart as much as the DS Lite did.
Yeah, it, like you said, it's insane what, you know, what it came from to what it went. And like you said, the DSIs are all really nice systems too. But the original DS Lite, and then you got to say like one of the, like a new 3DS XL, like those are the top two, because it's sort of like pick your poison, right? You either get to play every single GBA game and DS game, or you get to play every single DS game and every single 3DS game, you know? So I guess you really got to decide as far as libraries go, if the 3DS or the GBA is better, you know? To pick the ultimate, ultimate console.
Now that the DSi shop is gone, I would almost argue that if you're going, anyone going back to get a Nintendo DS, the Lite is the best option, because now that since you don't have the GBA slot in the DSIs and there's no internet, then really the only benefit you're getting to getting a DSI, I guess, would be like the bigger screen, maybe a bit better battery. The what?
The extra camera, bruh.
I don't think I don't know if you need an extra camera on a DS anymore.
No, I know.
I think if you've got a like, especially if you have a 3DS. Like if you have a 3DS, but you want to pick up a DS or something to that. Like you need to replace it or something. I'd almost say like you have the DS Lite with one of the 3DS versions and you're good to go.
Yeah, DS Lite is definitely like if you're interested in collecting retro games or playing retro cartridges, you want to have a DS Lite. And again, because there's so many of them out in the wild, like you can usually find one in good condition too. So, if I can find one on the cheap, like just on Craigslist, they're throwing in a couple games or something, I'll just pick them up. Like it's a console I'd want to have like for my kids or, you know, just for the rest of my life to play the stock of games that I've amassed. I mean, I need to go back, and we're going to talk about some RPGs in a few minutes that the games that I'd heard of but had never played before, and I want to go back and pick up some of these games. I remember the DSi, something about that really captured my attention was the matte finish on it, right? Really nice. I had the black one that first came out, and then I think I had the turquoise or the teal colored one as well, and I just remember the kind of soft, silky finish on those consoles, very different from the shiny finish on the DS Lite, which kind of got scuffed up a bunch. The matte finish on the DSi was really sleek, I thought.
Yeah, I like the matte finishes on even the new 3DS, or the small ones, the new 3DS X. I almost said XL again. Yeah, the ones like, yeah, the matte
the
is
new
super
3DS,
nice.
Yeah.
I think I like it better generally than like the, yeah, sort of shiny, like, ooh. But I felt like also when the Lite released, I feel like that was like when Apple was like at its peak. So it was sort of like, ooh, let's have a little shiny white device as well, you know?
For sure, yeah. And that was smart. Like it's a color that could appeal to a lot of people. You think about like the most popular car color is got to be white or black, and so you release a white console, very nondescript looking, and yeah, it was just perfect. It was a shame, I thought, with the DSi XL, I'd love to have a bigger screen for some of these games, but they went back to the shiny finish on those. That wasn't as ideal. I didn't think that was probably the most minor upgrade of the DS family.
But probably still made a killing on it.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, again, every time they released a new one, like it's the whole idea of got to have it, you know, got to have the best one out there, the biggest one out there. And
yeah,
no, I'm sure they sold well.
And especially when, like, I don't remember exactly price-wise, but, you know, more recently with the 3DS, you start to see it getting relatively affordable too. So, you know, all of a sudden, you know, with the Switch or, you know, when some of these, like, you know, I know PlayStation's had some cool, like, you know, exclusive PS4s for games and stuff, and they look really awesome. But, you know, you're dropping $300, $400 on a console, you know, you already have versus, you know, up $150, it's still a bunch of money, but, you know, a little more palatable, and you go, oh, and, you know, then all of a sudden you become a sucker and you start collecting the consoles, and then you go down the rabbit hole. But yeah, it just seems a little more, you know, easy to swallow too, upgrading, you know, when it's not an insanely huge price tag.
Maybe we could go through the launch lineup. I'm curious, you know, which of these games you guys are familiar with or you've played before. I have to admit, I really only know a couple of them. But so this is the launch day / window games lineup. Asphalt Urban GT from Ubisoft, a racing game. You guys play that one?
No, not me.
No.
Nope. Neither did I. Feel the Magic XYXX by Sonic Team / Sega.
I did.
a dating simulator of sorts. You did play that one, Casey.
Casey paid money for that one.
Yeah, I did. Full price, probably. Yeah, I can't say I remember all too much of it, but I know it was like just like weird, strange stuff going on, and then they'd have you do some like mini games, you know, that were sort of like, oh, you're using the touch screen or you're blown into the mic. Very, very of the time for a DS game, you know, like we need to capitalize on all these cool features they've been touting. And like,
yes,
you know,
right.
yeah, blow into the mic to do this, you know, use the stylus or what your you know, finger to swipe and do this kind of stuff. But yeah, definitely a game I did buy, and I still have it over on the shelf, so nice. I have to bust it out sometime.
Madden, yeah, we'll have to do an episode. We'll have to construe that into an RPG somehow. Madden NFL 2005. I never really played sports games portably. Even if I had played, you know, NHL, Madden, NBA on consoles, never played the portable ones. Either of you?
No. I'm the same way. It was the main, like, I played the main NHL lines, the main Madden lines on console, but that's about it for sports games.
Yeah. Mr. Driller, Drill Spirits. Like, I wish I had played this game. It sounds interesting, but I never got to it.
No, I didn't play this one either. See, like I said, I feel like, you know, with the launch window games, I was still, I still didn't have that job yet. You know what I mean? So it was one of those, you know, I probably only got a handful of games before, you know, in that window going down.
You're still at the mercy of birthdays and Christmas and other holidays, right?
Yeah. I needed to be gifted.
Ping Pals by THQ, another messaging program, which always seemed odd to me that they would release this when the DS had a built-in messaging service with PictoChat. Like, I felt like Ping Pals was kind of an odd addition to the lineup, but, you know, maybe that's par for the THQ course.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. I guess it looks a little more like, oh, you can customize an avatar, like, you know, kind of thing.
It's a little bit it's jazzed up compared to the very basic PictoChat.
Yeah, it'd be like a fancy aim instead, you know what I mean?
Yeah, kind of thing. Yeah, gotcha.
But no, I didn't waste any money on that.
I think it actually came in cheaper, I believe, in terms of the launch lineup games. I think this was still in an era of variable, where much more variable pricing was still around, and I think that one was cheaper. Rayman DS from Ubisoft, platformer.
I don't think I played that one. I know I've played a handful of Rayman games, but I don't think I played it on the DS.
I don't think I ever played a Rayman game really till Wii U, which is the same one we got on Switch. I can't remember the name of that one. But yeah, Rayman apparently was on Game Boy and in other places as well.
Rayman
it's never
2
a series I really got into.
It was literally on every single console you could ever imagine. But I played it on the N64.
Yeah. And then the most recent Rayman, same kind of thing, right? Like, it got ported to every console under the sun, seemingly. Ridge Racer DS from Namco.
No, I didn't play that one, but you know what? Like, looking back, like, that probably would have been a game if it was up to me, like, oh, you got money? You know, like, get whatever games you want. Probably would have been up my alley.
Yeah, I think I would have chosen Ridge Racer over Asphalt Urban GT as well, just because I know the name Ridge Racer, obviously. Like, that's a series that's been around for a while, too.
Ridge Racer.
Exactly. they needed the Sony, I can't remember the fellow's name from Sony who would say it like that.
I can picture his face. I'm so bad with names.
Yeah. Spider-Man 2 from Activision. You got to have your licensed games, right? David, did you play Spider-Man 2?
can't say I have for that one.
Super Mario 64 DS. Casey and I, we mentioned playing that. David, did you ever play this version of the game?
I have played it, but it wasn't. I don't think I played it for too long. I don't remember too much. The only thing I really remember about it is it was the first Mario 64 where there was you could play other than Mario.
That's right.
I remember of it, really.
You have Yoshi, Wario, and Luigi were playable characters. I think they had slightly different abilities as well. I think it's a neat kind of pseudo remake of that game, but I think that I was ultimately disappointed by my purchase of it at the time, because I was like, oh, you know, this is a launch lineup for this new console I'm really excited about, and I'm playing a game that I already know forwards and backwards that I've beaten a bunch of times on 64. Like, and to go back to that, you know, it's great if you haven't played the game before, but you're also missing out on the analog stick. Like, it's just not the same experience at all. And
whoa. We had the finger strap. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. It's no analog stick.
How funny is that, the finger strap? Yeah, I mean, I played it on there, like I said. I got all the stars. I had, like, a complete 100% file. And I remember my neighbor, like, my sister and her friend were playing on the DS. And they over-saved it. And I was like, oh, no. I was so angry. Which, like, it's so stupid. Like, looking back at it now, you know, like why, you know, what's the point? Like, I know I did it. Like, the, you know, who cares, really? But I remember being upset at the time.
Oh, yeah. I would have been upset if I lost my save file in many games. That, I mean, we talk with our RPGs often enough. Like, imagine losing a save file in an RPG, let alone a Mario platformer.
Yeah, I guess. But I'd already 100% it. Like, it was a complete and done file.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it was like, no, if I was still working my way through, yes, I would have been upset. Because, yeah, like, now I either got to redo it all or, you know. No, but it was like, I probably hadn't played the game in, like, months, you know what I mean? But definitely not the optimal way to play Super Mario 64. But you know, I was able to do it, and I still had a blast. So,
yeah, I think still again, underneath it all, still a very good game, still a very good Mario game. Now, Casey, I know this isn't Mario Golf, but Tiger Woods PGA Tour 2005.
See, I think I did play this one. Now I'm trying to think. I played tons and tons and tons of Tiger Woods golf games growing up. So, you know, I've definitely, you know, played on a bunch of systems, but I'm trying to, like, I'm looking up a video to see if, like, it's, like, ringing a you know, a bell. It might have, I think I might have played it on here, because, yeah, it's got...
I think golf games really lend themselves to portable play. Like, I feel like being able to take a golf game with you, just the nature of golf, especially on the DS, where you can close a system, maybe put it in, not put it into sleep mode, but maybe the game might have had some built-in thing to just, you know, kind of shut it off temporarily or something like that. But DS had a sleep mode just from closing a clamshell, right?
Yeah.
I'm getting confused because when you play a GBA game in a DS Lite, it does not go into sleep mode, and I learned that the hard way from playing Final Fantasy games and trying to close the DS and leaving it off. But very good for like a kind of game you'd want to play on the road, on the go, and have that sleep mode feature.
Yeah, and even I'm just looking at some videos like with the dual screen, like when you're on the putting green, you get like the top down and like the behind the ball view, you know. So it's sort of cool to have a couple like multiple angles, especially in a golf game where like trying to, you know, read, you know, the greens or, you know, trying to see what obstacles are in your way. It's sort of nice to have the couple different views.
Yeah, that's definitely a helpful feature. Now, David, I know you had to have played this, the Herbs Sims in the City, or maybe a game your kids might like. Actually, I don't know, but
maybe it's
that's
something
the
to
excuse
look into,
he uses.
I pictured this as like a kind of a more cartoony version of the Sims, or like a more basic or stripped down version of the Sims. I don't know.
I almost
remember the game releasing, but I never played it.
I think it's almost more of like, hey, we're gonna take Sims like characters and maybe throw them into like a different environment or something.
Okay.
I'm not sure because it's the Herbs Sims in the City. Like, not like they didn't lead with like Sims, you know, this is the Sims. So
yeah,
I think it might be a more like story-based game almost using those kind of characters. Okay. But I could be completely making that up. So
I know this is a game that came to multiple platforms, including Game Boy Advance and Nintendo GameCube, actually. I'm just trying to figure out a little bit more about what it is. I don't know. I wish I'd played this game. I feel like just because how disappointed I was in... Again, if there's a podcast episode on it, maybe. I just remember being so kind of disappointed with Super Mario 64. Like, I wish I'd gotten games that I hadn't actually played before.
Like the Herbs.
Like maybe Ridge Racer or Rayman or Herbs, you know? Like, sounded funny, but, like, at least it would be a new game, right? So
I could just see, like...
It looks like it's got a mission structure, Jordan, so more of an adventure game.
I would like the Herbs Sims in the City, please.
This will be my launch title. I don't want anything else.
I would like to return Super Mario 64 and pick up the Herbs.
The Black Eyed Peas provided musical scores for the game.
Ooh.
There you go. That's a selling point. So I think what maybe made me hesitate was the fact that, again, this is one of the first consoles where I'm spending my own money. So I'm going to buy the known commodity in Super Mario 64 DS rather than Herb Sims in the City, which I have no idea whether that's good or not. And I remember playing a little bit of The Sims, but I guess this isn't necessarily like that game. Like I was saying, it seems to be more an adventure style.
It says the handheld version is an adventure game that requires the player to complete missions to advance.
Mm. Yeah, that's fair. That's very different then. So
yeah.
than the god games of the original Sims. Maybe we should move on to the RPGs.
That brings us to the games that we want to play on the...
Yes, that's right. Not the pitiful launch lineup.
I don't know, man. Yep. Let's not put down the herbs too hard until we try.
Yes.
Okay. Or until Jordan tries and tells us how it is.
Sorry, we're replacing the Quest 64 episode with an herbs Sims in the City episode. Sorry, everybody.
Well, we're going into the RPGs list, or the best RPGs, I would say. And there is no shortage of them. We got Radiant Historia, which I think all of us have played that one, haven't you guys have played Radiant Historia, right?
Yep. Not on the DS originally, but yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I didn't finish it till the 3DS version, Perfect Chronology, but I had played it originally on the DS. And again, it's a very, very strong RPG. Holds up very well, and if you're gonna play it, I think you could play either version and probably be okay. The 3DS version improvements are nice though.
Yeah, well, and it's a great story and a very interesting combat system, and I think it was our second podcast too. If people want to go back to hear that one, fantastic game.
Yeah, I just referenced the game in a review for Fairy Tale, which is based on a manga and an anime, so that you'll be able to read that review soon. But I referenced Radiant Historia because it uses that same kind of grid system, in terms of moving enemies around to attack them as stacks and stuff like that. So yeah, very, very cool game, and I it's a shame that I think even with the 3DS remaster or re-release, I still don't think it gained a lot of a following. So that might be all we see from that team.
Yeah, that'd be too bad. The next one up, I actually haven't played this one, but I know it's a pretty popular one. The World Ends With You.
I have not played that one, but I do have it brand new in the plastic, because when Square had like a big old sale online, mm-hmm, it's one of those, mm-hmm, like the games are dirt cheap, but the shipping's still expensive, so it's like, well, to make this $15 worth of shipping, I might as well buy every DS game I don't have on here. And
I did the exact same thing, Case. Okay. I've got like 20 games behind me, all still sealed. Half of them are DS games.
Yep, I got the Dragon Quest.
I probably bought from a similar sale.
Final Fantasy games. Yeah, I've got them all sealed over there.
According to Donald, this is the best way to play it too. Like, even. Because there is a Switch version of it, but yeah, I guess
there might be a mobile version of this game as well. But the Switch version just didn't seem to maybe click as well as the DS version, and maybe that has something to do with the fact that the DS touchscreen or the DS itself was just better designed for using that touchscreen, whereas Switch, like, there's no stylus or anything like that. And I think a lot of people might want to play the game docked, but this is a game you obviously can't play docked. It's got to be played handheld and on Switch anyways.
Well, I don't like any Switch game that makes me touch the screen. It's nice and clean for a reason.
Yeah, definitely, I don't think this is a super long game either, right?
No, I don't think so.
Like, no.
Maybe I don't, 10 to 15 hours maybe?
I feel like it's the universal praise for it, like, is one of those we should probably just buckle up and do an episode on it or something, you know? Like 25 mm-hmm. hours, give or take.
Okay.
I don't know.
Like, I'd be down for it.
It just seems like such universal praise, right? Like, it's not even like a few people are saying, like, yeah, or like, but I don't ever really see, like, the counter argument, like, no, that game sucks, or like, oh, it's not that good, you know? It seems like everyone is pretty much in agreement, like, it kicks ass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and everyone was in agreement that the DS version is the best one after the Switch version came out. I thought that was so funny. Like, normally you like the one on the new console with maybe, I think there's like an extra side story or epilogue or something like that attached to the Switch version, but everyone was also universally kind of damning the Switch port or the Switch version and just wanted everyone to play the DS game. But yeah, definitely one of those ones we probably should get to at some point. And I would rather play it on the DS.
Yep, good thing I already got it.
Another game that's universally loved and might be the best version of it on the DS is Chrono Trigger.
It is such a good game. Someone was posting on Twitter, I think it was Grills, who Casey will know from a Talk Nintendo podcast fan. I think he's just getting into Chrono Trigger on the DS, and yeah, what a treat that game
is.
He's a lucky man. It's a very good. For sure. I think it's his first time with it. It's a very good version of this game. I think it's probably a little bit better than the Super Nintendo, even
though I think it's the
Super Nintendo might sound better, but it's got the anime artwork, the Toriyama artwork. So I think that's what's worth experiencing in the DS game for sure.
I always love that, changes. Like how they show you like the animated cutscenes, and you're like, wow, that was beautiful. And like the one that comes to mind is when Frog splits open like the side of the mountain there. And wow, that's so amazing. And then they show you the original cutscene. And it's just and like the rock sliding, and it's like, okay, now you can proceed. Yeah. So it's really sort of funny to see it side by side, or well, I should say back to back like that. But yeah, Chrono Trigger DS, amazing. I think best way to play it, you know, portability, plus it's got all the extra stuff, you know, as far as like the cutscenes and things. This is a game it took me a while to get into. Like, you know, I had it on the Super Nintendo that I bought, you know, way after the fact, because my friend, his like older brother, always like, he was like the RPG guy, you know, so like my friend would like tell me about them, and then that's how I sort of got into all these. So it'd be like I'd played it, and like I could just never get into it like completely, just something else popped up, and then finally we got through it all, and it was just like, wow, now I know why everyone says this is like one of the greatest games of all time. And like, not even, you know, there's no real argument, I feel like. Not to say it's number one, but it's absolutely in the conversation every time you have that question, you know?
Yeah, I mean, speaking of games that are universally loved, like Chrono Trigger is it. And for a long time, this was the only other way to play this game. Like, Chrono Trigger hasn't been re-released widely. There is a Steam version now. There may be a mobile version. I'm not sure about that. But this was the... if you didn't have the Super Nintendo cartridge, I don't even think it's really available on any virtual console services or anything like that. Like, it's been... Square has kind of kept it very tight to the vest with this game. And so, yeah, if you didn't have the DS version, and the Super Nintendo card is obviously very expensive to buy. It's not the super cheap. So, I guess Steam is probably your best option now. I think they did some patches to improve some of the fonts and the look of the game. But, yeah, the DS version is definitely tops for sure.
Yeah, and you can't be considered an RPG powerhouse if you don't have a few of the Final Fantasy ports from the original games, and one in particular that we're going to be playing in the not too distant future is Final Fantasy IV. The DS version here has a full motion video sequence at the beginning with an orchestrated theme song, and the thing that made it palatable for me was that it was praised for being sufficiently faithful to the original. that's something that I want to see before I play one of these ports, is that it's faithful to the original. So
I mean, I'll save a lot of my thoughts on the DS version compared to the original version when we get to that episode. But yeah, I think the versions are very, very different. It is faithful in terms of like story and characters and stuff, but like the full voice acting, I think, adds a lot to this remake. There's also Final Fantasy III got a remake, and that was actually the first time the game came to North America. It was in 3D, same as Final Fantasy IV. Yeah, so we got those two remakes on DS, which again, those two games, I think, again, Final Fantasy III might be available somewhere else, but not on any other consoles that I'm aware of. Like that DS remake version, it's mobile or the DS version. I think that's it. Final Fantasy IV, I'm not sure that that's available that the DS version is available anywhere else. I don't, even on mobile, I don't think so.
So no, that is
a very unique release of that game. When we talked about Bravely Default, we also mentioned the Final Fantasy IV Heroes of Light, a really cool RPG that you can definitely see how the creators kind of moved into Bravely Default after building this game. It has a very similar appearance to it.
I've got that one in the wrapping as well.
Yeah, it's worth playing. I think it's tough, and I think it's a little bit longer, but it's a good game.
Yeah. Then we've got, sticking with the Square, we've got a bunch of Dragon Quests. And we had started Dragon Quest V, I think, a year or two ago for the podcast. And
I think it was optimistic hope that we could, like, squeeze it in between two big releases or something. And then, it quickly went to the wayside. But yeah, I mean,
I really enjoyed the split screen for that one.
Yeah, dude, like you said, I think, to me, having that second screen for an RPG is just amazing, because it's going to give you either a good map layout, it's going to let you really access your menu and your items really quick and easy, and then, of course, like, you know, the games sort of take advantage of it, adding it into the battle system and stuff, having, you know, touchscreen or multiple screen. To me, that's why the DS and the 3DS are like, you know, I say the 3DS is my favorite console of all time because it's amazing, you know? I guess if I sat down and thought about it, like I said, really have to debate whether you like the Game Boy Advance or the 3DS library better. But just the dual screens for RPGs, I think, is amazing. And like, it's sad, frankly, it's going to be something, you know, sort of sad to not probably see too much, if any, more moving forward, you know?
Yeah, the problem is current hardware can't necessarily play these dual screen games either, and that kind of sucks. Like the Wii U Virtual Console almost had two screens in a way, right, with the gamepad and playing on the TV. So there were ways to make it work, but I don't know how you get DS and 3DS games working on a Switch, for example. Maybe Switch 2 has two screens. That would be hilarious, and I don't think it would happen. Just, but yeah. I'd love a way to bring all of these old games back. I mean, really, yeah, your only alternative is getting a DS Lite to play GBA and DS games, or getting a 3DS to play all of the dual screen games. I think it's what the 3DS, another great kind of console for curation and for playing a backlog of games, because if you combine, hell, you want a powerhouse, combine the DS lineup with the 3DS lineup in terms of RPGs.
Well, yeah,
and you probably, that's your desert island console right there. That's all you
well,
need.
Well, that's why,
right?
I said, generally speaking, like the 3DS is probably my favorite console of all time, because it encompasses both. And like you said, yeah, RPG wise,
for sure,
insane. Yeah, but Dragon Quest, a lot of great Dragon Quest games. There's even, it's funny, like, Dragon Quest Rocket Slime, which is like a weird spin-off game. I remember that game like really, like I'd stopped playing like the DS a bunch, and then like for some reason I was like, I'm gonna pick this game up, and then I remember I was like, that kicked me off. Like I went back and started buying like the original Dragon Quest games for NES, or you know, Dragon Warrior games, and like it sort of revitalized me back into gaming and stuff, and like I said, sort of a weird offshoot of a game, but again, just tons of Dragon Quest, tons of Square support in general.
For sure, yeah. I'd forgotten about all the Dragon Quest spinoffs. I have one behind me from that Square sale. I think it's Dragon Quest Monsters is the one I have. But Dragon Quest 4, 5, 6, and 9, like, again, a great place to play arguably the best versions of those games. I mean, you nailed the case with the idea of being able to play RPGs on a two-screen device. Like, it is perfect that all of the information is available. Like, oh man, I love not having to press a button to access a map.
Yeah,
like that is the best part of playing these games, is just having the map with you constantly. Obviously, like on home console games or on the Switch or something, like you'll often get a mini map on the bottom of the screen, but it's never as maybe prominent. It's not the same, yeah, as when you've got a whole screen dedicated to a map.
More games need to have,
definitely love that,
the Diablo 2 map toggle, you know?
The overlay, yeah. You rarely see it. You rarely see it,
and it's so
awesome.
Efficient, you know? I really love that.
I feel like it's only those kind of games. It's only those kind of action RPGs that have that kind of thing going on. I think Torchlight might have been another game that did something similar.
And that's from the creators of Diablo.
Other genres don't really use it. Yeah, exactly, right? So those are some of the more familiar ones, but there's also all the Pokemon games, obviously, right? Heart Gold and Soul Silver, I think a lot of people played that. It's arguably the best Pokemon game and maybe the best version of it.
You know
what's
funny?
It came with a Pokewalker. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Wait, sorry, what was that?
No.
Pokewalker, do you remember the little...
you could like bring it along.
Tamagotchi-sized thing.
And, like levels up the Pokemon.
Yeah, exactly. I think it connected via the IR port or something like that, maybe.
It's funny, because I never played Gold or Silver. Like, I remember as a kid, like, I wanted it for Christmas, and then, like, a week before Christmas, I was like, Mom, I don't want Pokemon Gold anymore. And I remember she was like, oh. I remember telling me afterwards, she, like, went back and returned it. Which is funny, because, yeah, like you said, it's sort of regarded as one of the better ones, and, yeah, I never revisited it. But, Pokemon games, I feel like, I don't know, man, I feel like I'm down on Pokemon lately, you know? They don't change enough.
But back then, like, think about how many Pokemon games this console had.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Like, effectively, four different mainline games. You know, Black and White, and then Black and White 2, the first instance where we had, like, a direct sequel to a game. Black and White, that set of four games seem to be very highly regarded for their story. I think it was a game where it was all new Pokemon, right? When you played Black and White for the first time, you weren't seeing like the original Kanto starters or Pokemon from Gold or any of the other games in the series. It was all new, so that was kind of cool. Pearl and Diamond, I don't remember being super high on. Like, obviously you played them, but like, maybe it just felt like more of the same.
I got those.
Still, a ton of Pokemon.
I got Pokemon Pearl a day early. And from my buddy who worked at EB Games. And nice. We went the next day into New York City to like the launch event. And dude, we thought we were like big dick swinging going in there with like level 25s because we were playing all night. You know, like, what's it, you guys want to play? You want to battle?
Truly a proud moment for you and your family, yeah, Casey. Dude, which you got Pearl and Diamond early and you're able to show up all the people at the launch event.
I smacked those little kids around with my Pokemon.
Yep.
This is the last call for alcohol this evening. Drink up, drink up, drink up, and order again. This is the last call.
Well, we seem to have a ton of RPGs left, so maybe we will do that split up and talk about some more another day.
And, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and then so we'll move into last call. And we actually kind of talked about it briefly there for a minute. The topic for Last Call this week is, will we ever see another multi-screen console?
Casey, what do you think? Do you think it could ever happen?
Yes. I'm holding out for a 4DS of some sort, whatever they want to call it. 4K DS. No, I still think there's... I don't think it'll necessarily be anytime soon, but I feel like Nintendo is crazy enough down the road to be like, well, let's bring it back, baby. You know? I don't know.
I think the only way we get it is if it's something like an SNES classic. Mm. Like they do a DS classic or something like that. I, as crazy as that sounds, considering how far removed those consoles are from one another, I think that's the only way it's ever going to happen. Like, I think it's just not to, you know, to make a device that kind of has the fidelity that we want. Imagine putting two screens in it. Like, it's just the cost of something like that nowadays. I just don't know that ever works. Like,
I guess it
you
would...
think of even cell phones. Like,
yeah,
you don't really get two screen cell phones, right? The one flip phone that Samsung was doing, or the foldable phone, those weren't even working. They were breaking in the $2,000.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I think it would like have to be pretty much like the next step in what the 3DS would be. So it would probably look pretty similar. You know what I mean? Like it would have to be like another dedicated portable device that's just like a beefed up 3DS essentially. You know, probably get rid of the 3D and like if you could make it look what like a PS3, you know, or like Xbox.
Do you think it would play old DS and 3D or 3DS games as well?
I don't know. Like I said, I guess it depends because, I mean, I don't necessarily think this would be something that would happen really anytime soon, right? So it might be like a fresh start down the road, you know? I don't know. Like I said, the chances are probably pretty slim, but I don't want to rule out the possibility. And maybe that's just because I really want it badly, more than anything.
Yeah.
But.
I think I'd love to see it. Love to see it.
I think the only way we might see it is if when we have like whatever Switch 2 becomes, like I don't foresee a Switch 2 becoming a two screen device just because the next generation of consoles are certainly going to be like probably way out more technologically advanced over the Switch, but I still think the Nintendo is going to stick with the one screen just so that third parties can still develop a game for, you know, PS4 or Xbox and then port it to the Switch. So I think the Switch has to remain at one screen. But I wouldn't be surprised if when Switch 2 does come along that maybe they do something along the line of whatever the next 3DS becomes, and it would be able to be backwards compatible with old Switch games.
Yeah. That would be cool.
But then that'd be really cool, but then still provide the second screen for like a new experience
for all the DS and 3DS ports.
Yeah. Well, they could do that. Like I don't know if they'd necessarily make, I think their strategy would probably be more not put a 3DS or DS port in it so that you could put the old games in. I'd imagine they'd want you to rebuy those digitally.
Yeah.
But certainly they could just throw that up in the eShop, like some kind of eShop, all these old games for a few bucks that you rebuy digitally. And then, yeah, then maybe you start to get some old games that are up-resed, from, like, I mean, they're already kind of doing it now with a bunch of 3DS games. Like when you look at games like The Alliance Alive, like it was ported it was put on 3DS and then they ported it to Switch. Because it was so late in the 3DS's life. I'm kind of surprised we haven't seen Atlus do that with the Persona Q2. Like, you think that was like the last 3DS game I can remember, and I'm surprised we haven't seen it on Switch yet.
Yeah.
I think we should save this for the next episode, but there's something about the two-screen device that allows for games like Persona Q2 and Etrian Odyssey, where you're drawing a map on the bottom screen, you're drawing your own map. Like, I don't think we have a real way to do that on anything other than a DS and a 3DS. So I'd love to see where Etrian Odyssey, for example, is going to go. How are you going to make that work on a Switch? It does have a touchscreen, but
sort of a
does anyone really want to draw? Do you want to draw a map on your Switch? Like, I don't think so. So, I mean, hell, we didn't even get Brain Training, the Switch Brain Training game in North America. Like, that's how kind of like,
yeah, it's sort of
maybe
weird.
They really feel like no one wants to play a game like that in the West, right? Like, it came to Europe, it came to Japan, but I don't know if that game's ever coming here. So, yeah, we'll see. I'd love it, but I don't know.
Yeah. You said about
it. I was just about to.
Finally worked for you, did it?
Yeah, well, I remembered. I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot. Like, I tried like 4 or 5 times. It wouldn't work. And then I forgot about it. And I was like, ooh, I wonder if it's still on sale.
Yeah, Casey just sent us a picture of him buying Final Fantasy VIII remastered for the Nintendo Switch. So
for David. For David.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you could have found that online, Casey. So until I see it in your hand, a picture of you, your face actually playing it, I'm not sure if I'm going
to
believe.
Well, who knows?
That might have to be an episode one day.
Terry might have shared that picture with you for all we know. So.
I was going to say, I never once said I was going to commit to playing it anytime soon. I just wanted to get it at the discounted rate.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah, well, we will play it at some point, I'm sure. I think that takes us to the end of the episode. A very brisk 1 hour. So brisk, in fact, that we need to divide the episode into two parts. So we will have a second part at some point where we talk more about some of the lesser known RPGs and go into more detail about some of those. Maybe some of the RPGs that we'd love to play in the future if we haven't already gotten to them. It's definitely a list we've already kind of started working on for that. Yeah, obviously, want to thank everybody for joining us. Fun to kind of revisit a very important part of Nintendo's history, and I think certainly a console that's kind of informed where they've gone with the Switch, right? And approaching the casual audience and the more hardcore or dedicated audience. You see that across the DS, the 3DS, and even the Switch now too. If you have not already, please subscribe to the podcast on your podcast player of choice. We'd love to get reviews from you as well. If we can, leave us a review, leave us a rating, 5 stars, whatever you think we deserve. But even more than that, you send us an email, give us feedback. We love to hear from our listeners. Let us know, what are your thoughts of the DS? You know, what is it a console you own? Did you get it at launch? What are some of the standout games from your memory of the DS? Casey, and David, what have you guys been cooking up on the YouTube channel?
Some MMO goodness, isn't that right, David?
Yeah, that's right.
I knew it was going to happen.
Yeah, talking about how far I've gotten in Final Fantasy 14, and Casey's going to be talking about what he's been doing recently in WoW.
An episode Jordan won't miss for anything.
I think, and I'm gonna be sick. So it sounds like you guys have a good thing going there. It's funny. I feel like the weekly or biweekly updates from you guys as MMO playing should just be a regular feature of the channels. I'm sure people would like to, and I'm curious about especially David your experience with Final Fantasy 14, given how much we've heard about it, how much people seem to be liking it. So I know you don't have your machinist character yet, but you'll get there one day, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's, I'm actually, I don't think I'm that far off. I'm already up to level 20 and I've only played a few hours. So.
Boom.
Jeez. Okay. Well, that's pretty good. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. So that's going on the YouTube channel. We didn't get a chance to recap kind of the Xbox event. I'd like to do that next week. So maybe stay tuned for some thoughts on that. We're hoping to do another crossover with the Talk Nintendo podcast.
The Dirty Mage.
Next week. Yep, that's right. We've got Casey and Perry joining us next week to talk a little River City Ransom, a little classic brawler action there. Super short game. It's on the Nintendo Switch Online again as well, as are some of these games we've been playing during our crossover episode. So, I mean, 30 minutes, an hour, you can beat that game, maybe a little bit longer. But it's got some cool RPG mechanics we're going to discuss. And yeah, just one of my kind of childhood favorite games. I remember borrowing that from a friend of my dad and never wanting to ever return it because I like that one so much. So stay tuned for River City Ransom. We've also got a Yakuza Kiwami episode coming up very soon with Matt Sawodniak from NWR. I think that does it for us. Oh, sorry, the email. Yeah, please email david@thethirstymage.com if you've got suggestions for episodes, thoughts you want to share with us about the DS or anything else RPG related you'd like to chat about. We also have a Discord. David, how do people access the Discord?
There's a link. I
you
think
don't.
I know. Caught I you off guard. I think about it.
Like, where is that? The easiest way to access the Discord is that there's a link in the show notes of every episode. So,
perfect.
Yeah. Okay. The code to get into our Discord is there.
Okay. And is there maybe a way to access it from the Thirsty Mage website as well?
Yeah, there'd be a link on our main page, to our Discord.
Fantastic. Cool. Yeah. So come and join us on Discord. You can tell me about how, the smoothies I'm drinking aren't that healthy for me, as another listener told me. So, gonna need to change up my smoothie game a little bit.
They're just looking out for your health.
Just drowning myself in decaf coffee instead. So yep. I'm sure that's
at least you'll sleep well.
Yes, exactly. That's right. Yeah. So again, thanks everybody for listening. Thank you to, Casey for being on the episode with us. This was a lot of fun. Yeah, we will talk to everybody soon. Have a good night.
Adios.
Bye.